The Economic Development Budget Division for Wednesday, March 12th will come to order. Senator Metzen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate File 2922 is called Hired Industry Sector Training Initiatives. You might recall, and the committee members might recall, that this bill passed out of here in the full Finance Committee last session for a $200,000 grant to help low-income workers improve employability and opportunities for advancement. It works to train people, and it mostly works in the manufacturing and hospitality industries to get people on the payroll and to be tax-paying members of our community. And it's a nonprofit agency. It helps more than 8,000 people a year to prepare for and get jobs. So this small appropriation really gets people back to work. It fills a void out there to train these low-income people. And the system really works well. And with me today is Jane Smarja, the Executive Director of HIRED. She'll tell you the acronym of HIRED, but essentially what we're trying to do is help low-income people to get jobs. And I say to this committee that this appropriations really more than pay for itself when you get these people back to work and you train them actually in the hospitality industry. And I don't know where we're going with this. Quite frankly, we need some dough, and it's a $200,000 appropriation. I repeat, we passed it last year, but it was line item veto by the governor. And I think after you hear a little testimony, you'll agree with me that this is a wonderful program to get people on the payroll and get them back to work, and particularly...
You keep talking, we're not going to do this.
Low income. are you going to take me to dinner or something?
Mr. Smarja, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Metzen.
Talk too long.
I guess not. Thank you.
Well, that's a long speech.
We're willing to listen to it.
In fact, Senator Metzen, especially during this time when we are having so many problems with people losing their jobs, this is the type of thing for retraining that's really important.
So, I don't mean to make light of this.
No,
this is stuff that works.
It's good. It's
I know
good
you're
stuff.
Aware of it, Senator.
Yep. Ms. Smarja.
Senator Tomasoni and members of the committee, I am the executive director of HIRED, and we have been preparing people for work now for 39 years, primarily low-income people, but dislocated workers as well. And I'm here to ask for support of Senate File 2922, which would, as Senator Metzen said, provide an appropriation for our industry sector initiatives. I think it's worthwhile taking a minute to explain what that means. Industry sector initiatives are leading-edge strategies for preparing low-income workers for jobs in industry clusters that need skilled workers to be trained to their specifications. So this is not to be confused with a one-time customized training program for this company and then that company and then another company. This is not a shotgun approach. This is a very targeted approach. Sector initiatives are collaborative, and they provide a package of services that are employer-driven, and that's another key element, by advisory councils over a period of several years to address workforce shortages. An example of this for you is the Empowered Fast Track Training Program that we are operating in collaboration with Hennepin Technical College, more than 40 regional manufacturing companies, Robbinsdale Adult Basic Education, and other community representatives. This is a three-part program designed to fast-track people into manufacturing careers by providing a three-tiered program. Manufacturing fundamentals, a 480-hour paid on-the-job training experience with one of our member companies, followed by a course in either metal stamping, welding, or CNC machining. Our Empowered program has trained 154 individuals and placed 144, and this is largely at the entry level to get them into manufacturing, and the average wage is $13.14 per hour. We've made level one of this program available in the prison system at both Shakopee and Stillwater, and we're on the verge of expanding that to throughout the prison system for another 60 inmates between the ages of 18 and 24. This program has been recognized by the National Governors Association Center for Best Practices and the National Association of Manufacturers for its ability to quickly train Minnesota workers for in-demand jobs. Senator Metzen noted that the appropriation for this project was line item vetoed last year. And I think it's interesting that Governor Pawlenty has recently been quoted about his concerns for prepared workers. On Monday, you may have seen in the business section of the Star Tribune this article at the bottom that has the governor's picture here. And the headline of that article says, "Left for Dead, Manufacturing Cries Out for Workers." Governor Pawlenty visited Rochester, Brainerd, and South St. Paul to discuss potential solutions to the widespread program of attracting and preparing workers. He was quoted in this article as saying, "The dearth of skilled job applicants is hampering Minnesota's growth and competitiveness." Well, I have to say that Hired can solve that problem, at least in this region, and we have been solving the problem, and that's why we came to the legislature for an appropriation to expand that initiative. We've been recognized, as I said, for our success in providing the critical functions necessary to sustain over a number of years these industry sector approaches, and there's certainly validation that these approaches work to provide high performance workforce for industries that are facing a serious labor shortage. We know that manufacturing and healthcare, for example, are facing serious labor shortages, but very soon, because of demographics, just about every industry in the state of Minnesota will be facing labor shortages. So I think, talking about what's on the table with the current administration, I'd like to quote from a 2007 skills gap survey that the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development conducted all over the state with manufacturing firms. And I quote, "Workforce development professionals need to customize their approach to businesses based on the need for the service and the willingness of businesses to be active partners in delivering services to workers. Businesses and the workforce development system must collaborate and secure a sustainable workforce for this important sector of the economy." By definition, this is what we're doing. And by definition, this kind of approach leverages funds from many places. I have a handout here that will outline some of that for you. We have brought in, since 2004, a lot of money for this approach. However, traditional funding typically pays for tuition, curriculum development, things of that nature. It doesn't pay for the critical functions of recruiting employers, staffing, and staffing this kind of approach, working with the clients, working with businesses, going on site, coaching the trainees to stay in training, to keep their jobs. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things that we do. We work with the business advisory councils and staff those. We do all the tracking. We write the performance reports. We write grant applications. We report to funders. So I guess Hired, as one council member on the advisory council described it, is the glue that keeps things moving and together. So I think that this is a very essential role. Small employers don't have time to work together on these initiatives, but they certainly benefit from them, and they have said again and again they appreciate what we do to bring resources to them that they don't know about. The skills gap survey also outlined the fact that employers just don't know about what's out there. Those that work with us, we went to find them. We made them aware of what's out there. We coordinate all the services they need, and we get them the workers they need. So this has proven to be very, very successful, and I would appreciate your support of this request for an appropriation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Samarga. Are there any questions of the committee? Senator Metzen, as you know and as we all know, we're dealing with a budget deficit. So what I'm planning on doing here is laying this over for possible inclusion in a omnibus economic development bill, and then maybe sending the whole package over to Senator Cohen and trying to figure out how to balance it all with the spending increases and the spending cuts. So that okay with you?
I appreciate the time, and yes, it is, Mr. Okay. Chairman. Members.
All right. So
thank you.
We'll lay this over for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is Senator Rest here? Senator Rest isn't here. Ann, you want to come up here?
You did.
Michelle. I'm like, what?
I got it.
You need to go home and take my kidding.
Oh, Junior.
Hey, Junior.
Yeah, I think we're just Junior.
Now we're doing Thomas.
I know. We're all going to get sick.
Yeah, move to the back room there.
Airborne.
Senator Tomasoni.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 3221 is a bill dealing with the transfer of some money from the Tourism Department to the Film Board and Film and TV Board. One of the things that's pretty interesting about the board and the impact that it has on the state is that whenever we get Hollywood in Minnesota filming major films, the impact of the film itself has a direct positive impact on the area where the filming is going on. And generally speaking, it's many times over what the state invests in order to get the film here. And just to give you an example, I think when North Country was filmed up on the Iron Range, and they only filmed half of the movie there, we put in about $250,000 from the IRRRB, and the economic impact was well over $3 million. And so it's just an indication of how effective the payback is on these types of things. And so this is a move to get some more money into the film board and try and work.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Lucinda Winter. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Film and Television Board, Mr. Chair and committee. This bill represents basically, it formalizes an agreement that was made between the governor's office, Explore Minnesota Tourism, and the Minnesota Film and TV Board. And basically what it does is it will formalize a transfer of funds that were appropriated to the Film and Television Board through our Snowbait grant in 06. The first year of our program, we did not use all of our money. We were just getting the program up and running. So at the end of the fiscal year, that money moved back to tourism. And now we are asking that the appropriation come back to the Film Commission, because we now are in a position where we could use that money to bring up a film here to the state that would have great economic impact. So we are basically moving the funds back into our office from Explore Minnesota Tourism. That's the main thrust of the...
That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Winter.
Let it go.
I have the amendment. Does he want to offer?
Mr. Chairman, does tourism want to let the money go?
Yeah. What's that?
Salient question.
Senator Cohen, I'm sorry.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Mr. Edmund wants to testify. This is, I just heard Senator Paraso asking about tourism. This is doesn't have a general funded impact. It's meant to be, as Senator Tomasoni indicated, a transfer of funds.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mr. Edmund, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Edmund. I'm director of Explore Minnesota Tourism.
As Lucinda had mentioned, this basically takes money left over from the Snow Bay program that flows through Explore Minnesota Tourism. Money goes back to us, and this allows the film board to use this for a future feature film. It has a zero net impact on the general fund budget. Basically, the dollars flow back to us, and we'll just flow it back to the film board for the purpose for which is intended. And at Explore Minnesota Tourism, we are in support of this bill, as you see before you, to help the film board out.
Senator Coleman?
Something more?
Senator Thomasson.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have an A1 amendment that first time I've seen it, so I'll counsel if they want to explain it. I don't know what it does.
The A1 amendment actually just incorporates the changes that were made in the House into the Senate File 3221.
We have to add a date to the amendment also?
Yes, we'd like to make an oral amendment to A1 amendment. On line 2.6, after that, insert are certified by the Minnesota Film and TV Board. And delete begin filming.
I'll incorporate that into the amendment.
Okay. Members understand the A1 amendment with the oral. Hang on, Mr. O'Rourke.
It would read.
Maybe the executive director of the Minnesota Film and TV Board can clarify whether or not the oral amendment is designed to help out projects for the future
Correct.
Projects, not projects that are currently in the queue. So would it be your preference to delete the language about beginning filming on or after the following day of enactment?
That is correct. Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Committee. Yes, we'd like to delete that because we have a current program running, and we, you know, productions are coming in, they're being certified, they're spending their money here, and they're subject then to reimbursement of 15%. What we would like to do, and this would only be effective for projects that our office certifies after enactment, would be to increase our 15% reimbursement to 20%, but only for projects that spend more $5 million or more in our state, because that's going to maximize our economic impact for dollars expended. I do not, however, want this amendment to be applicable to projects already in my program, because they came in at 15. That's what we've earmarked, and that's what we want them to be reimbursed for. So this is basically going forward with the program to make me more competitive with surrounding states, which have tax incentives for production of 20% to 25%. So I am at a competitive disadvantage with surrounding states, this will help me to attract production going forward into our state and maximize economic impact.
The amendment, as I read it, was the intent then to delete the begin filming.
Correct.
But leave in the on or after the day following final enactment.
That is correct.
Okay.
All right. Now that we cleared that up, Senator Thomasoni moves.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the A1 amendment to get this in the shape it in.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to lay this over for possible omnibus bill. Said earlier, I think this would be okay because it's money left over, but at the same time, we have a deficit, and it's going to be a finance bill coming out that's going to deal with it. And I think Senator Cohen would like to see all the bills together at one time as opposed to getting sent over there different times. So.
All right. Senator Cohen, before we do that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Thomasson, and up to you as to whether you want bills that are even transfers to move separately or if you want them in the supplemental finance bill.
Senator Thomasson.
Right now, I think I'm going to keep it here just
Fine.
In case. Okay.
All right. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, before we – I don't know if that – so we probably don't need a motion that we vote on, but before we conclude this, let me just make a couple comments because I was involved with this effort on the part of the – Motion Picture and Television Board, and certainly appreciate the help from Mr. Edman through tourism, but also appreciate the help of the governor relative to this. What Ms. Winter didn't mention is, and people might have seen some of the news coverage back in June, July, whenever this took place, or a little bit later, the particular film is the next film by the Coen brothers. And they filmed Fargo here about 10 years ago, and obviously they're kind of the hot director-producer combination now, with having won all the Oscars a couple weeks ago. So this is their next production. As I understand, Ms. Winter, from talking to yourself and to the line producer, this is meant to be kind of semi-autobiographical, and obviously the Coen brothers grew up in St. Louis Park, and their intent is to do this based upon their growing up. But the other news, it's not quite news at this point, but the next person who's interested, and the reason I mentioned this, is Clint Eastwood is talking about doing his next movie here in Minnesota. I don't know what the movie's about, but apparently Clint Eastwood's production company wants to come here. Last year, members might recall that when we finished the session, we actually had money in the Senate finance bill to cover some of these productions. In some of the non-negotiations that took place at the end of the session, we had a sense of what the film board might need. And we're actually, the film board is actually now in deficit, in effect. And if we're going to be serious about the Eastwood production, we probably have to do something else during this year's session. This particular effort then, as testified to by both Ms. Winter and Mr. Edman, transfers money between accounts, so there's not a general fund impact. But obviously, if in a single year we had both the Coen brothers, and I think, Ms. Winter, you indicated that if Clint Eastwood actually comes here, he's looking to film in June, July. Is that correct?
June of this year.
Okay.
Before the Coens actually go to camera.
And the Coen brothers production is scheduled for August?
They're going to start shooting. They're going to wait till after the Republican National Convention's over because, for obvious reasons, they'll start the week after. But they'll be here this summer building sets and doing all their pre-production.
Let's make sure the obvious reason is that it's going to be such a confusing time in town, not that they object to being here.
No. Yeah. Traffic issues mostly. Yeah.
Right. Maybe
it's like
things like
right.
I wanted to just clarify that.
Right.
But, you know, if obviously, let me just make there a comment that in the 90s, when we had established a strong state film production business, and it's not just simply the large kinds of efforts, but there's a film being done right now, I think that's starting to shoot, the Rob Perez film.
Right,
in the
but it's
going
to be shot at MCAD. Right.
Okay, so those are some of the smaller kinds of productions as well. But if we had the combination, we'll talk about jobs in Minnesota, the lack of jobs. If we were able to kickstart this with both the Eastwood and the Coen productions, there arguably would be an industry of several thousand jobs, ongoing jobs in Minnesota. In the absence of Macy's, Ford, whatever happens with Northwest Airlines, if the legislature is not going to get serious about creating new jobs in some fashion, we'll fall that much further behind the national mean in terms of job growth.
And Senator Coen,
Senator Thomason, I
think there's some way we should be able to figure out how to develop some type of a revolving loan fund. Not a loan fund, but some kind of a revolving fund based on the economic impact that the films have. And I'm not exactly sure how we do that just yet, because I know these aren't loan funds. These are actually grants. But
yeah.
I think they should be automatically replenished somehow every time a film comes in, because it's obvious that if we're not competing with other states, they're going to go somewhere else.
Exactly. And they do so.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomas, let me just follow up on that. You know, one of the problems we have is, you know, Minnesota was actually the first state with a rebate program back in the late 90s, which was fairly small. And what happened is, when the domestic film production stuff started coming back from Canada in the last 2-3 years, other states have eclipsed us. Because what you need now is, unfortunately, what you didn't need in the 90s or the 80s, and now you need is some kind of incentive program, because all the states have it. And what's happened is, it's not just simply a state like New Mexico, which is kind of the gold standard, but now Wisconsin has become a significant state. because they have a tax credit, which we never did.
Right.
And maybe several years ago we should have looked at a tax credit, which would be then just used as companies come in. We didn't do that, so we need to look at the rebate as we've established it. And maybe Senator Tomasoni, as you suggest, we should look at something of that sort and see if we can do that.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Cohen, the competition is so fierce that the bar scenes in North Country were actually filmed in New Mexico. I mean, that's almost a slap in the face to the Iron Range.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni, you've made the point.
Mm-hmm.
Because New Mexico, again, has been, in fact, when Governor Richardson was running for president, I mean, it didn't work out for him, but he talked, one of the things he talked about in terms of economic development is he talked about the film industry in New Mexico when he spoke at various campaign events. We're not going to compete with New Mexico for some reasons I won't get into, but it's striking that Wisconsin, which had basically no film industry, has now become significant, and that's striking because Minnesota has a much deeper acting pool than Wisconsin, has much more by way of technical talent. It has much more of the infrastructure that you would need to support this stuff than Wisconsin. What it doesn't have compared to Wisconsin is the incentives.
And
Senator Thomas,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I have a question for you. Do the Cohen brothers spell their name incorrectly?
Or
Senator Cohen. All right.
Mr. Chairman, and they also have talent, which I don't have. It's not only spelled differently. But,
all right. Thank you for your comments. We'll let this bill over for possible inclusion.
You inherited the Frederick.
Senator Rest.
Frederick. He doesn't spell his name right.
And Mr. Chairman, we do this.
Senator Cohen.
Senator Cohen was here. She's been quite involved in some of these issues as well with the film board.
Pardon? Senator Cohen, okay.
But she just walked in, so.
She's not spelled, isn't she?
Yeah. Yes.
Not spelled the same as the Koch brothers.
You're the star.
Senator Ress, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Today I'm bringing you Senate File 2512, which is a proposal for a supplemental appropriation for the activities of the Minnesota Sesquicentennial Commission, of which I am a member, and the appropriation is to allow the Sesquicentennial Commission through the agency of the Minnesota Historical Society to be able to finish up its work throughout this 150th anniversary of statehood. We appreciated the dollars that we received last year. We did end up in a deficiency situation without enough money even to pay the staff through statehood week, as a matter of fact. And the governor was kind enough to include, and Senator Cohen carried the bill, the deficiency bill, to include $175,000 there for the administration of the Sesquicentennial Commission, and in the governor's supplemental budget, he is proposing it was a total of $1 million. $175,000 has already gone forward to the governor. I don't know whether he's signed that bill yet or if it's been presented to him, but it certainly has passed both houses. And then in Senate File 2512. We would ask that the remainder or the dollar amount to be put in would be $825,000, which would match then what the governor's supplemental budget would be. And when we get to that point, I noticed in the deficiency bill the dollars were actually appropriated to the Historical Society for the administration of the Sesquicentennial Commission, and we would, I think that similar language should be in this bill rather than a direct appropriation to the commission itself. But however, council advises it would be the appropriate way of drafting that, but at any rate, the blank would be $825,000, Mr. Chairman.
You should move.
Mr. Chairman, I could move that.
Huh? Yes, Senator Pierso.
I would move that. Figure goes into the blank.
Okay. Senator Pierso moves that $825,000 would be. Right. Is that the correct number? $825,000.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On Senator Pierso's. Oops. On line 7, we'll insert that.
Yes.
On Senator Pierso's motion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have with me today, seated behind me, is the chair of the Sesquicentennial Commission, Keshe Hellerbeck, over here, and our director of communications, Tane Danger, and then Mr. Kelleher from the Historical Society, which remains the... our most favored partner in our celebration. We'd like to give you a bit of a report on how the appropriation from last year was used and to demonstrate all of the things that it's been used for, what the kinds of dollars we have leveraged, and why this modest appropriation for this year will make sure that even in hard times that we can have a commemoration of our statehood that is appropriate. So with that, I would like to have you hear from Jane Leonard, who is our executive director.
Wonderful. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Jane Leonard. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Sesquicentennial Commission, and I have a little PowerPoint program if you have the time, and I guess I need to switch the projector up on that wall, or where does it go? I'm not sure where it goes.
We need a screen.
It looks like that wall might be a screen.
It's too far away.
Is there a screen somewhere? Yeah. I apologize. We got this equipment, but...
Maybe you can flip the map around and
yeah.
Put it on that.
I can use the map. I can also talk through it. Okay.
There we go. All right.
Good work.
Yes.
Yeah. I get out the way.
Perfect.
It's fine.
Okay. Well, thank you. And as Senator Russ said, we wanted to just give you a kind of quick overview of what we've accomplished, and I'd like to add that we've accomplished this with just 2 full-time staff and 5 or 6 Sesquicentennial Fellows, and this is since last year at this time. March was when I was hired. And one of the most important things, I think, particularly in terms of the state investment, is the grant program. And on the other side of this poster are the locations of all the grants that have been given out. We have put out over 100 grants, both micro grants of up to $1,000 in every county, and legacy grants of close to average about $5,000 each, and $270,000 awarded thus far out of the $325,000 that was allocated. This is money that's actually gone out, and some is waiting to be put out there. Out of that, we had an extraordinary amount of match. We had asked for a one-to-one match, and it didn't really need to be cash, but we received $652,000 in cash match, and then just over $400,000 in in-kind. So we really quadrupled the amount of funding that went out in terms of the state investment. And I just was checking the members here on the committee, and I think most of you, if not all, have a grant or more in each of your districts. And if you'd like to see the list, I can make sure that you get that. We also made sure that for the microgrants, all of the legislators were able to present flags, the sesquicentennial flag, to their constituents that were working on the grant. So these grants are underway right now. They're all listed on our website. This is just a sample, and I know you can't see this, but this is a sample of some of the legacy grants that were awarded. And just as an example, the Minnesota Public Radio, you've been hearing some of the arrival stories on their broadcasts, and they received a $3,000 grant. The Cottonwood County Historical Society in Windham received a $5,000 grant for a countywide arts project that will show the intergenerational history of that area. The Obsidian Arts in Minneapolis received a $5,000 grant to showcase 150 years of African-American artists in Minnesota. So these are just a sampling of some of the grants across the state. We've also been working on, thanks insights of Senator Rest and Representative Maury Lanning, a plan for our future, a sesquicentennial plan for our future. This has been happening across the state since October, community meetings and online input, and it literally is a snapshot of Minnesotans' hopes, dreams, and their commitments, their true commitments for the future as they think about their grandchildren and great-grandchildren into the next generation. And I might add that we just received a Bush Foundation grant to help continue this work and to make sure that everybody at the state fair, 1.7 million people, hear about this and can participate in it in terms of talking about Minnesota's past, learning from that, talking about our future, and looking at what we need to do right now to help prepare for that future. So these meetings, like I said, were held across the state, over 40 so far, and they really will form a blueprint, we think, for policymakers and a snapshot of who we are at our sesquicentennial. We have an ambassadors council that our Chair Kay Hellerick started, and we have ambassadors in just about every county. I think there's a few missing, but these are folks that are on the ground and helping us in terms of the eyes and ears to see what's happening and having our staff be able to tell them of all the opportunities for their counties and their communities. The very popular Capitals for a Day, that was held over October, November, December, voting online. And we selected the regional areas as our natural areas of Minnesota because Minnesota is unique across the country, in fact, across the continent, where we have three major biomes that come together, three major natural areas, the deciduous forest in the middle, the coniferous forest up in the northeast part of our state, and then the prairie grasslands across the west. And in between there are some unique areas among that, the tallgrass aspen parklands in northwestern Minnesota where Glacial Lake Agassiz was located, and then the driftless area down in southeast. And I always like to joke that people are not driftless in southeastern Minnesota. It's just the geological area that was not covered by a glacier. So the five capitals for a day will be honored throughout Statehood Week, May 11th to the 18th, and actually throughout the whole year. And they now have these lovely signs up in front of their communities, Bemidji, Thief River Falls, Detroit Lakes, New Ulm, and Winona. And each of them are hosting celebrations throughout the Statehood Week. And we hope that people will be able to participate throughout that week in those communities. We have medallions. We have some aluminum ones if you'd like some samples. And Tane Danger, our communications director, can pass those out. These feature the Great Seal of Minnesota, our quarter dollar, so that's not a mistake. It didn't come out in 2005, but this is a medallion for 2008. And then we also have a special medallion that was made for the MN-150 exhibit at the Historical Society History Center. The postage stamp, as you can see here in real life, this is taken at Winona, Minnesota, the beautiful Upper Mississippi River Valley. This will be dedicated the first day issue on May 17th as part of Statehood Weekend right here on the Capitol grounds. So if you're still in session then, you can come down and get stamps at 1 o'clock. And this was at the design dedication in Winona. And then there will be a reenactment of the oxcart journey from northwestern Minnesota all the way down to the state fair, starting in July to the first day of the fair. And this gentleman who's pictured here, Orlin Ospy, was 16 years old when Delmar Hagen did the same journey for the centennial, and Delmar asked him if he would do this for him 50 years later, and he's kept his promise, and he's going to start off on July 1st and end up at the state fair again. We will have a sesquicentennial wagon train starting in the Cannon Falls area on May 4th to start the kickoff to Statehood Day. They are literally going to ride for 5 days through the southeastern part of Minnesota up to St. Paul, and will be coming right down Summit Avenue and down across the Capitol on May 11th for Statehood Day, approximately at 3:30 that afternoon. And then the state entry signs are up now. In most parts of Minnesota, there are 67 entry signs at all of the trunk highways and major entries into Minnesota, and this is what they look like. This was paid for by the commission, by some of the funds that we raised, and we are going to let people buy them after we're done so that we can have them be souvenirs and then recover those costs. We also have a cookbook. Every county has submitted recipes, and that will be available at the state fair. And we will certainly at least recover our costs and probably make a little money on that. And then I know Senator Rest has been trying to get the license plate bill through. Wisconsin, when they had their sesquicentennial in 1998, made $4 million from the license plate sales, and that's what covered a lot of their grants. So we'd love to see this happen. But if not, here's a great picture of it. So, and we do have flags for our troops. We just gave the National Guard 24 flags so that every installation where there's a Minnesotan across the state and across the world will have a sesquicentennial flag. And they are sending us pictures from those the troops with the flags. And we are going to be honoring all of our public servants and the armed forces at the statehood ceremony on May 18th at 18:58 hours, 6:58 p.m., and we'll have a live hookup with the troops in Iraq by satellite. So they'll be able to stand by that flag and participate with us in the statehood ceremony. We will be a big presence at the state fair. We did raise money for that, and I'm happy to say that that is all in. And so we'll have a big top tent right by the grandstand in the Heritage Square part of the fair. The state fair is going to promote the heck out of it because it'll be the newest attraction at the fair. And we will also be installing an all-county mosaic that is underway right now with our artist Susan Warner, who's going around across the state collecting ideas and conducting workshops with children and youth and adults. So that this will truly represent Minnesota at the state fair. It'll be permanently installed on the side of the food building, and we do have some corporate sponsors for that. Our website is our clearinghouse. Everything that you'd ever want to know is there. And I would just like to point out to Senator Dibble, this is one of the ways that we're energy efficient. We do not send out a whole lot of paper. We're not destroying a whole lot of trees. So this is our way to try to be as green as possible. If you need anything, it's on the website. And if it's not there, let us know, and we'll put it there. Just want to give you a quick summary of Statehood Weekend. As I said, we're going to have a ceremony on the 18th. Some of you may ask, why are we doing it on the 18th when Statehood Day is May 11th? May 11th is also Mother's Day. It's the Race for the Cure, and it's fishing opener. So we pushed it to the following weekend and have the Statehood Week as a way to help people build up to coming to the statehood ceremony. As I said, it'll be a spectacular statehood ceremony to honor all those who serve, public servants, armed forces, citizen volunteers. And in fact, on Statehood Day itself, we'd ask you and all your relatives and anybody else you know who's served in the legislature or as a constitutional officer or a Supreme Court justice to come on the Capitol steps and get your picture taken, a group photo on the Capitol steps that afternoon. This is just a very modest view of what the pavilions may look like on Statehood Weekend on the Capitol grounds. One of the pavilions is going to be called Minnesota Minds and what they can do. So it's about education. It's about innovation. This is what we hope the Capitol will look like on the evening of the 18th with the ceremony and the fireworks behind the Capitol. And then we have a whole schedule of events, which we've passed out, I believe, from May all the way through the summer, starting off with Ann Reed's Song for Minnesota, and we also have another sesquicentennial song, Shines for All to See. The wagon train, I'm happy to announce that the Declaration of Independence will also be in residence, one of the few remaining copies of the original broadsides that were printed on the evening of July 4th, 1776, will be at the History Center on display throughout Statehood Week. We have a special Minnesota Twins baseball game, thanks to Senator Rest, on May 10th against the World Series champs, Boston Red Sox.
You better win.
So we better beat them. But that'll be a special sesquicentennial game with pregame festivities on the Twins Plaza and an 1860-style baseball game just before the regular game.
Senator Tomasoni.
So will that game be starting at 1858? I think you should probably arrange that, Senator.
No, but just to continue on that, I am really excited about that, that Major League Baseball has allowed the Twins to wear the sesquicentennial logo on their uniforms. That four-game series with the Boston Red Sox, it is the only time that the Red Sox are going to be in town during the next session, the next season. I guess they don't have sessions. And also it's going to be an FSN televised game on that Saturday night. So we will be getting publicity for our wonderful baseball team, but also for the sesquicentennial throughout that game, participating, as Jane has said, in the pregame activities. A couple of choirs from my two high schools are going to be singing one of the sesquicentennial songs. And they're going to be featuring it on the Jumbotron and questions about Minnesota history, and also participating in throwing out the first ball and in the singing of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. So it's going to, besides the old timers game. So it will really be a very fun evening, I think, for those of us that love Minnesota and love the Minnesota Twins.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
Senator Rest, are you throwing out the first ball?
Senator Rest?
Actually, Senator Tomasoni, Ms. Leonard and I are negotiating on who gets to do that, but she and I are the ones who get to decide. How about that?
I just wanted to mention that I still have a pretty good arm, just in case you guys.
I know, but you have a hockey stick in your when you have that connected to your arm, not a baseball bat.
Senator Pearsall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I forgot what date the stamps go on sale.
Ms. Leonard.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pearsall, it's May 17th during Statehood Weekend at 1 o'clock right out here near the Capitol steps.
My seatmate here tells me that's sitting to mine.
Well, better yet. Okay.
I wouldn't have known that otherwise.
Just real quickly here then, Statehood Day, we will have a little ceremony at the Capitol because the State Capitol will have an open house. The Minnesota Historical Society does that, and we will have special exhibits for Statehood Day, and the wagon train will be arriving in the afternoon at approximately 3 o'clock. We'll have a little kickoff ceremony for Statehood Week. The group photo of current and former state legislators and others is set for 2:30, and then we'll be leaving for Bemidji that evening on to the Capitol for a day tour, which will happen throughout May 12th through the 16th. And then everybody will come back to the Capitol for the Statehood Weekend with the stamp. We'll have a vintage flyover, actually, of airplanes at 12:30, just before the stamp is unveiled, including an old-fashioned airmail plane. Then the ceremony itself will take place, the statehood ceremony, on May 18th at 18:58 p.m. with a National Guard flyover of F-16s, unless they've been called to action back in Iraq. So May 17th and 18th is going to be a big weekend here at the Capitol, and then there'll be a number of things happening throughout the summer. I won't go into detail because you have them in front of you. We will be featuring each of the regions throughout the summer months, and the State Fair will be the sort of finale to the summer part of the celebration with a 12-day big top tent, 12 hours a day, four times a day, a free show, musical tribute to Minnesota, Song of the North Star, and then in between that time, a series of kind of chalk talks about Minnesota, our past, our present, and our future. And it's air-conditioned, by the way, in that tent, so if you need a place to go. I would just like to end with our fundraising so far. We've raised just over $300,000 from foundations. That includes money that's going towards our plan for the future-related programs and state fair activities. We are have raised $215,000 from corporations, and we're looking at probably another $300,000 or so in the next few weeks for Statehood Week and Weekend. It is very difficult to raise general operations funding from grants, and particularly since this does not have a history except from 1958, and it won't have another history until 2058. So it's been very difficult to get funding, but we've been doing our best. And I would like to just say again that, you know, this was all done through the help of some of these partners, some of our staff and volunteers. We want to thank the Explore Minnesota Tourism and the Department of Natural Resources in particular. They're doing 150 new programs at state parks this year. So that's going to be really fun for folks to see. And the Historical Society is also doing signature events at each historical site during the year, as well as having the MN-150 exhibit at the History Center and the Declaration during Statehood Week. So in conclusion, we just think that, as Senator Russ said, this is a remarkable opportunity to integrate the commitment that we're making at the local level, that you're making with the grants, and the collaborative stewardship that we're trying to build with all of these partners for the place that we all call our home, Minnesota, our state. And again, I would just say that the Bush Foundation has issued us a challenge now with the recent grant that they gave to the commission, just happened last week. If we can raise an additional $300,000 from any source, including the legislature, they will add another $100,000 to their grant. So this is a great challenge for us and for all the partners out there. That is it.
Mr. Chairman,
thank you,
that
Mr.
is our report on the activities that we have been engaged in over the last many months and what our plans for the rest of the year. I know we're in stressful times. The dollars that are devoted to this from the legislature are ones that can be leveraged, as you have seen, many times over, and seems to me to be worthy of your consideration.
Chair. Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, I was in transportation when you were doing the license plate. Did mm-hmm. you put language in the bill so you could have souvenir license plates as well?
Yes, we would be doing that in the Finance Committee if they hear the bill.
Okay. And are those flags made in America?
Yes, they are. Mr. Chair and members, everything we are selling or creating, we're trying to at least have it made in Minnesota and at least have it made in the USA as best we can.
Senator Dibble.
And the server that powers your website is wind energy.
Sure.
We're doing good.
Actually, Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, that's a great question. We get a lot of wind up at the Hill House, and we could probably do that if they'd let us put a little turbine up on the roof. Yeah.
Well, Senator Rest, thank you, and Ms. Leonard, you've been very busy. It looks like we have a lot of things to look forward to, so we'll do our best to try to see if we can get you some funding. Senator Dibble, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
did I
see that Northwest Airlines, did I see the big placards? Are they going to...
They are
sponsors of the statehood events up on the Capitol.
Mr. Chair,
I just think it'd be kind of ironic.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, they are one of the sponsors that are considering. That was actually taken from one of the proposals that we wrote. So they've not committed yet, but they're considering it.
Yeah. A big going away party too. Then,
Chairman, I think this is the kind of thing that you should encourage your out of state relatives to show up during this event, sometime during the event, especially if the fair is going on or these statehood days, mm-hmm. and Capitol for a day if you're in that county. You know, those are all good things. And they can come and do a Capitol tour.
Sure. Senator Dibble.
One more question. So for the stamp and the first day of issue, how do we get the first day of issue cancellation for our little stamp collecting nieces and nephews?
Ms. Leonard?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, we just met about that today. All you have to do is, if you're in session still, you can walk down the Capitol steps. There'll be a tent that's selling all the merchandise and all the first day covers. And we actually have a whole month between June 17th to have things canceled with the special cancellation stamp.
Okay.
And for those of you also in Minneapolis, we're trying to arrange to have a special dedication ceremony probably on June 14th as part of a Riverwalk activity on that Flag Day.
Great.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Any further questions from the committee? If not, then we'll lay this bill over for possible inclusion as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
And then, members, our next meeting will be Monday. I think it's our understanding that we'll go over the agency's request or the governor's budget, right?
Okay.
Thank you very much. With that, meeting's adjourned.
Keep a sheet with me.
Oh,